This is the Deliberate Talks weekly podcast, powered by the Pixelated Egg Digital Ventures. Tune in every week to learn something new about digital marketing and entrepreneurship. And now, over to the voice of your host, Dukshin Adyantaya. Enjoy the show.
And hello there. Welcome to Season 3 of the Deliberate Talks podcast. And today is another conversation, interestingly, about search engine optimization. And for that, let's invite our guest, George, on the stage today. Hello, George. How's it going?
Hello, Dukshin. Thanks for having me. Everything is going well here.
Very well. George is the managing director of a content and SEO agency helping SaaS and tech companies drive organic growth. And so in SEO lingo, George, backlink me to your story and help me optimize the information for my listeners by telling me a bit more about you.
So the idea behind Minutia started, I would say, in 2019. I was a freelancer back then, and I was working with companies here and there, trying to do mostly things around content SEO, and which was, you know, the thing that I liked and enjoyed most, because over the years I tried many different things, even, you know, Facebook ads, social media, and things like that. And to be honest with you, I wasn't particularly good at any of these things. And also, I didn't really enjoy them. And at the same time, I noticed that the clients that I had as a freelancer didn't get as much value out of the service as well. Okay, so if I had to be honest with myself, I would have to say, which I did at this point, that, you know what, this isn't working as you would like it to work, at least. So you have to focus on the things that you like and that you are good at. And those things were, as I mentioned, content and SEO. Uh-huh. And so I worked a bit with a few companies, some of them smaller, some of them a bit bigger. And I realized that I'm good at it. But at the same time, I realized that as a freelancer, you can take on a certain number of clients and you can serve them effectively only if you have a very specific threshold, or let's say a limit that you set. Mm-hmm. But I didn't want to limit myself. And I knew that the process that I started developing and let's say my knowledge, the knowledge that I acquired could also develop and help other businesses as well. So I had to make a decision. Right. So I decided to start an agency. And we launched the agency back in January last year, actually. Now we are 6 people, full-time, all of us, and we are growing. And I would say that I'm really happy with how things are going. Now, when it comes to what we do, as you correctly mentioned, Dukshin, what we do is that we help SaaS, mostly SaaS companies and tech companies, but also we are serving some very nice B2B companies. Mm-hmm. And we are helping them when it comes to content and search engine optimization. Yeah, so this is what we do nowadays.
Amazing.
Where we are.
George, what is your agency's name? I'm sorry, I can't pronounce it right. So it would be right if you could pronounce it for our listeners.
Yeah, sure,
And also tell me the story behind the name of it. What does it mean?
Yeah, sure. So the name is Minutia. And I realized that many of our clients and prospects are, you know, find a difficulty to pronounce it. Minutia has a Latin origin and essentially means the little details.
Okay? Ah,
and
nice.
Yeah, and exactly, because as a service provider, as a partner for our clients and whoever wants to do business with us, we believe that, or to put it better, we care about these little details. I wanted to have a name that, one, you know, doesn't mean anything. Mm-hmm. Because when you're starting out, as I see it at least, you may, you know, in 6-9 months, you may have to pivot. And so the name that you have chosen in the beginning may be irrelevant. And at the same time, I wanted to have something evergreen in that sense. So right. Yeah, that's the story about the name.
Right. Great. Take me through this, George. You know, we're 4 months away from 2022, and you have started your business in COVID, like you mentioned. You know, this gap of 2 to 3 years has gone so quickly. And, you know, trends don't lie, but they do keep changing quite often with the market situations. Now, with SEO, pick me up with where we are heading towards in the year 2022.
Yeah, that's a very good question. I would say that this year has been a very interesting year for SEO. Many, many changes, many algorithm updates, many ups and downs, to be honest, and for our client portfolio as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, you know, it is evident that things are changing, things are happening constantly. And I would say that in general, you have to constantly be able, or be in the position to optimize what you already have, to produce better and better content, and above all, to try to satisfy what users are looking for. I would say, besides that, one big change in the way, not only the way, you know, that SEO is done by SEO professionals, but the way people are searching for and are using Google, we can see a change there as well. Because in many cases, and for many, many terms, and this, by the way, is something that we notice as an like increasing trend, we see that there are what we call the zero-click searches, okay? Which means that in many cases, people, you know, they go to Google and they search for something based on something that they need, something that they have in their minds. But we see that more and more often that they take the question that they have in mind right there on the SERPs, okay? And they don't have to visit any of the websites, any of the publishers, the brands, whatever that rank in the results. Now, as I mentioned, this is more obvious as an issue or as a trend, you can call it however you like, for a specific category of queries.
Mm-hmm.
But this is also something that publishers and websites and companies have to consider moving forward. Now, this is something that you could say that website owners cannot have as much control over. And you would be right, okay? Because you cannot really control the way Google changed. It's changing the SERPs and it's changing how things look like so that people can find an answer right there on the SERPs without having to click to any of the results.
Mm-hmm.
What people can control, though, is the experience on the website. I believe right. that there are many ways, let's say, to quote-unquote manipulate the algorithm and, you know, manage to be successful for a while. But I would say that this isn't going to last. And we have seen this in the past as well. We have seen it, for example, with keyword stuffing and things like that. Google will always be smarter, okay? And sooner or later, it will find out if there is a window and publishers and website owners have found an opportunity there. Sooner or later, Google will find out. And in the next Google algorithm update, chances are that you may experience some losses, okay? So I would say that even though there are ways to do that, you should, and website owners should have a more evergreen approach when it comes to their SEO effort. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, I feel and I see, and I will give you an example, by the way, for what I'm about to say. I see that experience on the website is, you know, increasingly important. And when I say experience, I mean, you know, people think about experience as bounce rate. And this is wrong. Okay, this is a misconception. Bounce rate is, of course, a good metric, okay? But it cannot be the definitive metric when it comes to engagement, okay? When we want to talk about engagement, we also need to talk about things like, has the person who joined the website, who came on your website, who visited the website, found what they were looking for in terms of, for example, if you're a SaaS company, have they signed up for a free trial? This means that this person hasn't gone back to the results to search, continue their search, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So engagement will play a significant role in the future. And as I mentioned, and I will share an example with you, a couple of weeks ago, we decided for two of our clients to apply a change on the blog section of the websites. And the change that we applied was only in the above the fold experience, okay, which essentially means what the user sees when they land on a website, okay, on a page, what they see above the fold, okay, this is what this is. And the only change that we applied was the above the fold experience. We optimized the above the fold experience so that it's, you know, the typical blog has featured images that kind of covers the whole screen. Okay, I guess that you have seen blogs like that.
Right.
And what we did is that we pushed the information a bit to the top of the page so that people can see text right away. We made the featured images much smaller, and we also included some information such as, you know, the author name, the reading time, and so on and so forth. Okay, so we just optimized the above the fold experience. Impact of that, the positive impact of that, surprised us in a really good way. We haven't seen something similar, to be honest with you, just by applying, let's say, a UX, an experience. Okay, because usually what we do is that we will tweak headings, we will tweak URL slugs, title tags, meta descriptions, things like that. But just by applying a change that hopefully has allowed us to improve the experience for the visitor, we have witnessed an amazing increase of traffic. Okay. And this is something that personally I haven't seen in any of our clients. It is the first time that we have tried something like that. And now, slowly, we are, you know, essentially we want to extend that to all our client portfolio.
Right.
And so just by sharing this example, the message that I want to convey is that user experience, as I see it, will be a very important factor moving forward. Obviously, things like, you know, backlinks and including the right entities and trying to make the right associations and topical authority, all these things will continue to be important. Okay. But at the end of the day, you try to satisfy someone with your content, with your efforts. In
right.
general, okay,
right.
that someone is a human being. Mm-hmm. If you manage to satisfy that human being, rest assured that search engines will be satisfied as well, and you will be rewarded for that. But
right.
I would say that your first level should be, let's try to satisfy people who mm-hmm. come to our website. And
right.
in that context, user experience is going to be increasingly important moving forward.
Right, lovely. You know, just also from a perspective that you said you started out as a freelancer and now you are a setup, right? Let's talk about the pitch perspective. Now, from an SEO point of view, SEO is all about a patience game, right? What often your pitch to impatient clients are? Like, how do you deal with them?
That's really painful. But I think that it's a very good question. You know, let's be honest. In general, there is a negative bias towards agencies. Everyone who is in the agency world knows that. There is a negativity towards agencies. I guess it's justified because people, in many cases, had negative experiences in the past. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we are a new agency. We are a new business. What can we do to beat that? I think that what we try to do is to set the right expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And if a client, for example, and by the way, we published a blog post on our blog a couple of weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
exactly for this topic, okay? We essentially tried to convince people, and we wrote that, you know, exactly having in mind the sales conversations were, you know, in most cases lead to the fact that don't invest in SEO, you know, go do something different because you will be disappointed and it's not for you, at least mm-hmm. at this stage. Okay,
right.
So I would say that what we try to do, even though, as you can imagine, we are a business and we are a new business, every new client matters. But for me, because we are in the business, as I see it, of building a reputation, it's better to say, you know, go do something else. Don't invest in this thing. Taking on a new client that you know in a few months, a couple of months, will be not satisfied with the overall, let's say, relationship. So what we do is that we try to set the right expectations. Realistically, we let the client know, even though obviously, as you know already, there is no guarantee when it comes to SEO, but
right.
we try to frame this in a realistic point of view and say that with the current status of the website, you can expect to get results in 9-12 months.
Mm-hmm.
When there are other websites that come to us in a later stage, obviously, we let them know that, you know, you can expect to get results faster, okay? But once again, there can't be any guarantee about that, okay?
Right.
But I would say that, like all of us, I guess, we are trying to figure what's the right way to do that. But for me, as I mentioned, it's better to say no and also try to educate them in the process why you should invest in Conde SEO rather than, you know, get them and then let them churn after a couple of months because they were not satisfied. And because at the end of the day, it's your fault because you haven't set the right expectations from the very beginning. So this is what we try to do. And as I mentioned, at the stage we are at right now, every client matters. But for me, and this is why I guess this is one of the reasons why we grow so fast in such a short time frame.
Okay. Great. George, there's another part of your conversation in, you know, your past interviews where you speak about a searcher's intent. You know, why are searchers' intent quite often overshadowed by the volumes of keywords? And, you know, how do you balance it out, you know, to get the entire strategy in place?
Yeah, that's a great question. To begin with, I think that the way keyword research is handled by most companies is wrong. And there are many reasons why it's wrong. I will just give you a couple of reasons. One is that companies pay too much attention to metrics such as search volume. Okay. Mm-hmm. And those metrics, in most cases by keyword providers and SEO software, this software work with averages. Okay. So what you see is an average, and in most cases, it's an estimate. You should take it with a pinch of salt. But I see over and over again, companies just evaluate terms and choose terms, the wrong terms over others that they should be targeting just because the search volume isn't high enough, which is completely wrong. Mm-hmm. Another reason why I believe that the way keyword research is done is wrong nowadays is because companies do not consider their business model. Okay, so what do I mean by that? If you are an agency, for example, just a handful of leads per month on your website, generated by your website from a piece of content or from a landing page that you have is enough. You are a low volume business, okay, by design. If you are a SaaS company, on the other hand, you need higher volumes. Okay, so at all times, you have to evaluate opportunities based on your business model as well. And you have to keep that in mind with every term that you choose to cover. Now, when it comes to search intent, I believe that it's extremely important to start at something that's, you know, completely free, and you don't have to be an SEO expert or an agency or anything like that to have that, which is Google search. If you just go to Google search and insert the term that you are interested in, Google will give you the answer, because the results that you see on the SERP in most cases are the ones that Google knows that satisfy what people have in mind. When you see, in some cases, the SERP will be more focused, and you know there will be a dominant, let's say, intent behind the query. And in some cases, the results on the SERP will be a bit more mixed, okay? And you have to see what Google considers relevant for that query, which may not be as clear. But in all cases, it's extremely important that you start with just a simple, what we call search intent classification, which means that you have to count the number of occurrences on the SERP for your target query and see what Google considers relevant for your target term, okay, for the query that you want to target.
Right.
People are more focused on misconceptions. You know, the page has to be above 2,500 words in order for it to be considered as a good resource by Google. Guess what? This is not accurate. And the reason for that is because Google considers relevant based on what people are, you know, clicking on and get satisfied by on the SERPs. Okay, so if for a specific query the answer is, you know, 500 words or below 500 words, then why go and create a guide and the ultimate guide with 3,000 words? You know, and I would say that this is one of the many misconceptions when it comes to content SEO. And people, in many cases, you know, kind of, they may read a research or a study, an analysis that says that results that have above 2,000 words perform better on the SERPs. But I would say that every case is different. And in any case, you should do a search intent classification and see what Google considers to be, you know, the best way to approach the topic. And if that means that you have to create an answer that's 500 words or even less than that, then go on and do it. Okay.
Right.
So this is what I think that, you know, happens when it comes to search intent. And obviously, search intent is extremely important. And whenever you want to target a new term, you have to follow the same process in order to be able to determine what Google determines relevant for the term and create just that. Yeah.
Right, right. And just before I conclude this round of questions, hyperlocal SEO, why is it so underrated? And what are some of the challenges you think businesses face while deciding if they really should bet on hyperlocal SEO or not?
That's a good question. I would say that even though we are not so much into local SEO because we are working primarily with SaaS and tech companies, we have worked on a couple of very interesting projects around local SEO. And I would say that in many cases, when it comes to local searches, you compete with directories and websites that may exist for years. Okay.
Right.
And it may be a bit difficult to compete with those websites. But I will tell you what, and I will give you an example. We worked with a website in January of this year, and we launched the website. We did complete research. The website was targeting four English-speaking countries, US, Canada, the UK, and Australia. And essentially what we did is that we mapped for a specific profession that and service that we were interested in, we mapped all the relevant, let's say, regions and cities and things like that. And we translated that into strategy in terms of how the URLs should be structured, what are the terms, what are the breadcrumbs, what are the title tags, meta descriptions in a scalable way, though. And I can confirm without link building, without any other efforts, that the website, as soon as it was launched, and schema markup in that case, as soon as it was launched, got great visibility. I cannot say that it got visibility in the first page because I suspect that we would have to have some backlinks to get there, but it got great visibility. So for me, that was kind of, you know, enlightening because I said, okay, is it that easy if you structure the website in a logical way so that the search engine crawler, as it, you know, goes from one folder to another, understands what's going on, then, yeah, I guess that you can have great results with it. But I would say that the difficulty that we have encountered, and I assume that this is one of the reasons that why local SEO may be intimidating, is that you really have to dive deep into the architecture of the website and things like that. But also, let's not forget that the SERPs are, especially when it comes to local searches, cluttered with features. And so essentially, even if you follow the process that I described and you have a great architecture, great, you know, optimized website, still you have to accept the fact that in many cases, the answer may be given right on the SERP without the user having to click on one of the results to find an answer to what they are looking for.
Right, right. Okay, great. Great then, George. I am going to now turn tides and get you to answer some quick questions for me. This is the rapid fire round of questions and it starts in three. So are you ready for this?
Let's do it.
Okay then. Five tools you recommend for search that adds value to a business.
So ClearScope for content optimization, Ahrefs for keyword and backlink data, Sitebulb for crawling websites, Screaming Frog. It's a nifty tool to do, you know, many different things.
Mm-hmm.
And Google search. It's the biggest and the most important of all.
Right. Okay. SEO is a difficult thing, and that's the best part about it, was a headlines in one of the Forbes articles. Do you agree with this? And if yes, what's the best part according to you?
Yeah, SEO is indeed a very difficult game. And as I see it, Daxin, it gets more and more difficult. And not only that, but it gets more complex as well. You know, it's not as easy as let's roll out a couple of pages and build some links back to them. Mm-hmm. It's not as easy anymore. So I believe that in general, it is difficult. But as I see it, it will be even more difficult in the future.
Okay. Tell me five of your most frequently used SEO terms during your pitches or during your meetings.
Organic visibility, organic keywords, organic traffic, no guarantees whatsoever. And let's try to set the right expectations, I would say.
Okay, great. The funniest question that someone has asked you about SEO in your life would be?
The funniest question? That's an interesting one.
Or the most interesting question it could be as well.
We get many interesting questions. You know, some of the questions that our clients ask and prospects are very, very interesting. Let's see. I think that the most interesting thing for me to answer nowadays, and this is something that we are working internally, is what's the ROI? You know, because unlikely other channels that are easier to prove with instant gratification, let's say, like PPC, for example, SEO is not like that. You can't be sure. And even though there are some ways to project the ROI, they're all projections. Okay. So the most interesting, complex, and one of the most important questions that we get and that we are determined to work on and you know, start giving an educated and well-informed answer is what is the ROI? And I think that as SEO becomes more difficult and more expensive, this is one of the questions that agencies and freelancers will have to answer.
Right. Okay. 2022, what's cooking up for you and your company?
So right now, as I mentioned, we are six people. As I see it, and based on the demand that we have, by the end of the year, we will be around 10 people. Ideally, I would like us to grow the team size in 2022. Also, grow the client base and work with bigger and bigger companies. And at the same time, to launch some new services around content, such as storytelling content, which is something that we are working on and really believe in as part of our services. And as a way also, to differentiate ourselves from what's already out there in terms of, you know, if you open a SERP, in many cases you see content that's essentially the same, okay? Every other website is trying to copy each other. And so we find that adding perspective in your content and telling your story can be a great way to, you know, stand out. So we want to experiment with some new services as well. Want to substantially grow the team and at the same time acquire more and more and bigger clients.
Right. Okay. And finally, before we sum up this conversation, your three quick points for brands or individuals when it comes to SEO.
The first one would be try to understand whether or not you are ready for SEO. Okay. I would highly recommend to go to our blog at minutia.com/blog and find a post that we've published that explains whether or not you should invest in SEO, you know, because in many cases, it may not be the right channel for you. And I know that your current agency or your freelancer or in-house team, whatever, is trying to convince you that, you know, we should do that. You shouldn't, okay? So the first thing would be, try to understand whether or not you are ready for SEO. The second thing would be, if the answer to the first question, are we ready, was yes, then be really committed to the effort. The results are not going to come in, you know, a couple of months so that you can satisfy your investors or whatever. Results are going to take a while until they show up. And the third one that I want to say is, don't be cheap with your selections when it comes to your service providers and things like that. If you are cheap when it comes to SEO, which by the way becomes more and more expensive, this is something that you will pay way more in the future. We have seen that, you know, with many websites that we have worked with. And so these are the three things that I would advise to anyone who considers SEO as part of their marketing strategy.
Right, right. Okay, amazing. Nice. And with that, George, thank you so much for making time for the Deliberate Talks podcast. Where can our viewers know more about you and your company?
Sure. So you can visit our website, minosia.com, or you can find me on LinkedIn, Georgios Hasiotis, where I often rant about you know, all things business, content, sometimes SEO, and share interesting insights that we learn, because it's a learning process above all, from our own experiments, the things that we do for our clients, and so on and so forth. I would be happy to connect and you know, discuss further with anyone who might be interested.
Lovely. Great, George. I had a great time hosting you. I appreciate you doing this and taking time for this. I hope you enjoyed your time on the show as well.
Yeah, really enjoyed it. And thank you very much for having me.
Super. Best wishes always, George. Cheers. So there you have it from today's expert on SEO. And before we leave, here's another interesting fact about the topic. Did you know of the billions of searches that happen on a given day, 15% of daily searches are absolutely new to Google? Interesting, right? And that's it for today. You can hit the follow button on your favorite audio platform or get in touch with me on the social media channels or thedeliberatetalks@gmail.com. Join in next Monday for a new episode. And until then, inspire and be inspired.